Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another company update, this time from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, let's follow up on a news release that hit the market earlier this week, September 28th. Headline says, Great Bear drills wide, shallow gold intervals at LP Fault. 3.22 grams per ton gold over a little over 36 meters and 4.61 grams per ton gold over almost 40 meters. This all happened in the same drill hole. It really just goes to further confirm that there is width and grade to this drilling at the LP Fault. Chris, take us through the ongoing strategy of the drill program and what these drill results are telling you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for giving me a shout again, Corey. It's nice to talk to you. We had some, more good numbers come out this week. The importance to this is really in the flavor of what's being picked up by the growing analyst community around Great Bear. And that's the fact that you cannot ignore that you have wide intervals of multigram material right up near the surface. And I think if you add those zones together that you were just quoting, I think you get about a 104 meters of 3.5 grams or something like this. And that's important because it's really rare in the mining space, especially in Canada, to have something of the size of the LP Fault discovery that has this kind of grade distribution that close to surface over such a big area. What it really means is that it looks like the project is lining up in the direction that some of these new analysts that are covering the story are talking about, that we have really significant endowments of this high-grade, mid-grade gold intervals over significant widths to surface, and that has huge future economic implications.
So figure one and two in the news release do a good job of outlining where these drill holes are and just how big this LP zone is, 4.2 kilometers. Some of these recent results have come a little bit from the eastern side of this overall anomaly. Is this just continuing to be the strategy of filling in some of these gaps in the drilling?
Yeah, like the zone is so big that effectively, I know we've talked about this a bit before, but if a normal gold zone is a few hundred meters strike length, 200 meters strike length, something like that, you're looking at a gold zone here, which is kilometers long. And, you know, we found the LP in May of last year, more or less. So it's been less than a year and a half since we made this discovery. And now we've got 171 drill holes publicly released. We've got more than 180 drilled into it so far. And what that means is you're seeing the gold come together with continuity, with size, with predictability. And ultimately, that aids the resource modeling that we need to do here as the project continues to advance. And when you see that combination of predictability and hitting it again and again, what it really has implications for is that you take in the high grade because it's predictable and you hit it so many times, and you incorporate that in the geological model. So there's various terms you use in the industry, like capping. You look at grade threshold capping, you look at clamping available intervals from section to section. All these things are all designed to establish your coefficient of variation on the resource, and that's what you use to issue that first number. It's looking really good with the drilling that we're doing right now. So when you see the results continuing to come out of the LP Fault, and you continue to see that combination of high-grade gold, like the last results had, 8-9 meters of material in the half-ounce range in each one of those, the middle of each one of those couple of zones, you keep seeing that. It keeps being predictable. You keep seeing very high-grade intercepts. Generally, you get a core on those high-grade zones of like 100-gram material very frequently, over an ounce material very frequently. And what that shows you is that as you define that envelope of high-grade gold mineralization and the bigger envelope of the mid-grade and the lower-grade stuff, the resource model is coming together nicely, and that's showing people that what you have here is, and I think we've known this for a long time, but it's not a normal gold discovery. It's exceptional in the sort of projections that people are beginning to make. You can read about it in these analyst reports for a very very good potential for very high profitability. And the type of deposit that, if it keeps going like what we're seeing, you could be looking at the type of deposit that's like kind of a unicorn or a bit of the holy grail in the mining sense, that you could build a mine and then you could have it going cash flow positive or free cash flowing, as we'd say, in a very short window of opportunity. And that's really because of that combination of shallow, high-grade gold going to surface. That is so rare in the business. And those are the sort of unicorns. Those are the prizes that mining companies are built around.
So, Chris, you've mentioned analyst coverage a couple of times here. Why now are analysts just starting to pick up coverage, or more coverage being undertaken on Great Bear, when, in all fairness, we've been seeing consistent high-grade drill results for well over a year?
I think, Corey, like, it's a fair question. And really, you know, a discovery like this, I mean, doesn't come around often, right? When was the last big one like the LP fault? I would argue, and I've said this a lot of times, I'd argue that the Hemlo discovery in the early 1980s is the last analog that we have to this kind of scale and scope and consistency of a gold system. And because nobody's seen that in the last 35 years, you know, what we're looking at here is just, it takes evidence, it takes data, and it takes results, you know, month after month, week after week. Like, it's amazing. We just went through the Beaver Creek conference last week. And I remember at Beaver Creek last year in 2019, everybody was talking about Great Bear across the industry. You know, so the company was about $8 a share. We doubled basically since that time. And, you know, everybody was talking about it at the conference, but opinions were pretty polarized. Like, some people thought that Great Bear was a massive new discovery. Other people just couldn't believe it. You know, they've seen so many wild, fishy stories over the years where people have talked about big discoveries that just haven't panned out. And when we were talking about a multi-kilometer high-grade gold system, same geology, same kind of results, hole after hole after hole for kilometers at the LP, there was a healthy level, and it was a healthy level of skepticism. But I only had, at that time, I only had about 20 drill holes into the LP, or 30 drill holes that we could talk about. Now we have over 170. So the same meetings, the same people that looked at it with interest but skepticism are now looking at it with interest. And there's that kind of full stop. And what that means is that there's been buy-in over the course of the year. There's been buy-in in the industry, like, Bob Singh, our VP Exploration, our director, and the company were awarded the A.O. Dufresne Award from the Canadian Institute of Mining this year, based on the quality of the discovery. And that's the highest award available in the mining industry in Canada. And it shows you, you know, as we get those kind of recognitions come in, we get new analyst coverage coming in. Like this past few weeks, we had Dave Talbot from Ape Capital come in with a really good report. We had Alex from CIBC come through last Friday with a big new report. And it's showing you that we're getting increasing exposure, and the kind of scenarios that these guys are talking about, what they're seeing. I mean, Alex, in his report last week, he had an upside case on the stock that, if everything keeps lining up and the project develops along the lines of what it could, he had a $45 upscale price target on us. You know, that's pretty incredible. Like, nobody would have said that a year ago, but that's the weight of the data and being consistent, sticking with your guns, drilling it consistently, methodically, showing your investors, showing the industry, showing all the mining interests in the world, showing them what we have, showing the quality and the consistency. That's what's really going to set the project apart. It doesn't really matter what I say, you know, whatever the flavor of the day is in terms of the market movement. This is the kind of project that will carry that weight and mass, because the quality of the data and the quality of the gold in the ground is simply exceptional.
So when you're chatting with these analysts and even hearing some of these much higher price targets that they have, what are the analysts seeming to be most focused on for the company? And do you think that they're even missing another aspect of this project simply because of how big it could be and some of these other targets that you have drilled outside of the LP zone?
Yeah, that's a good question. And what they're focused on mostly at LP, first off, is the fact that, you know, these intervals like we put out in our last news release, like if you can generate these sort of 50, 60, 100-meter intervals of multigram material, and that goes to surface. We've showed that again and again, you know, and that comes section after section. You're seeing it repeated on all these sections across the, you know, especially that middle kind of few kilometers of the LP fault. It's just been really exciting what we continue to see. They focus on that because significant volumes and widths of kind of multigram material in that area, this is of a size of these big low-grade bulk tonnage deposits. Like you can look at like a Canadian Malartic or a Detour Lake, these kind of big systems, but the grade is higher. So if it has the size, but it has higher grade, the economic implications are that if it keeps going like what we're seeing, we could be looking at some of the best economics on a project in the country. And that's what's really getting them excited, is it's so rare to see that combination of grade, size, and presence to surface. And that's what we get excited about internally, too. That's why these guys are drawing these high price projections, is because they're seeing now in the data, with the massive data that we've generated over 170 holes so far, you know, that it looks like it's hanging together very nicely and it looks like it's consistent. And that means that it could be one of the best projects in the country from that standpoint as well, in terms of what it might produce.
Yeah, and that's the key too, isn't it? The consistency, high grade, and the fact that a lot of the drill results are very close to surface, and some of the mineralization extends right up to surface. Can you give us an update on the work that's ongoing at the project? How many drills are going? Where are these drills focused? What can investors expect?
Well, you know, we had during the COVID pandemic situation, when it was at its peak or at its worst, and we're definitely, and we continue to be very cautious about everybody's health in the company, but we went down to three drill rigs for several months during the pandemic, because that's what we could keep going with the local staff only. Now what we've done is we're using local staff, mostly local staff on the project. We have a couple people that have actually relocated to Red Lake. So they self-isolated when they came in for a couple weeks, relocated into the district, like bought a house. And, you know, this way we can have only local people working on the project, but we have a few more people available to us. And we're back up to five drill rigs now on the project. That means you've got basically four rigs working on a really interesting program that we have going on. I'll talk a little bit more about it in the future, but it basically involves testing and proving some of our geological models that we're going to roll out in the relatively near future. Anyway, that work's going phenomenally well. And then there's another rig testing other targets on the project. So it's about 90% of the drilling going on right now is testing our model and filling in where we need to show that grade and continuity along the LP supporting that initial resource publication.
So it's continuing to work towards this initial resource. Any thought on time for when you can get out that initial resource?
Yeah, likely it's going to be next year, Corey. So the way things are looking right now, it looks like it's going to be full-scale production all the way through the winter in terms of drill core. We initially said that we needed about 300 drill holes to get that first resource done. I think that's about right. If you look at it now, it's about 170 holes that we have done. My guess is, based on current productivity, we should be close to about somewhere between 200 and 250 holes completed by the end of the year, probably closer to 250. So it'll be a bit of drilling to finish that kind of resource drilling next year. That'll give us the information to say the current drilling is enough. Yes, go ahead and do the resource, or we want to put a few more holes into this area and that area. Anyway, we're going to be able to make that decision early next year. And that means that we'll give an announcement off a finite timeline early next year.
All right, Chris, one final comment. Let's talk about cash in the bank. You guys have a lot of drills going, but you also, from my understanding, have a lot of money in the bank too. Where does the company stand?
Well, this is right now we have about $48 million in the bank. And that is at the current rate of expenditure. I think we're spending roughly, for round numbers, about $3 million a month. So we are funded into 2022. with the cash that we have on hand. And it's looking like, you know, the cash on hand is going to be sufficient for that initial resource drill program to be completed. And that's exciting because the valuation point that'll come in there, if it ends up being like what we're talking about here, should be significant. So it's a really good value prospect for investors. And I think what gets me the most excited about it is if it all lines up the way we think it is, I think it's going to be one of the largest, one of the most rapidly drilled off, and one of the cheapest major maiden resource programs like in the country, because it's so shallow and because it's so consistent, it requires fewer drill holes than many other projects that would try to put together as many ounces. And I think it's going to be the most capital efficient, biggest, shallowest, really nice grading new discovery like this in Canada. And those are all the boxes I want to check off. If we do that, I'll admit I'll give myself and everybody on the team big pats on the back, because capital efficiency is one of the things that sets Great Bear apart from just about all of the companies in the industry.
Hey, Chris, kudos to you. This is an exciting story to keep following along with, and just nice to see consistently high-grade drill results over nice widths. So we'll keep following along. I'll follow up when we get some more news that hits the market. In the meantime, if anybody has any follow-up questions for Chris, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. So, Chris, in the meantime, thanks for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Talk to you again.